are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome to a brand new edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. I am your host, Hende. I'll be with you until the hour of 8 p.m. on this warm Sunday evening, coming to you live from our studio in Windhoek. You are tuned into the Eagle Sports Zone. That is Eagle FM's in-house sports program, where we discuss all things sports. We like to peel back the layers. We like to discuss the things behind the scenes in the sporting world that make what we see on the field possible. So that's from a wide range of topics. That's from your sports marketing, your sports development, sports infrastructure, sports psychology, all kinds of things around the sports world that we like to discuss, dissect, analyze, and get into. And today we are going to be talking about, you know, something that's hot on the lips of seemingly everyone in the entire world, and has been now for, around three or so years. But really this year has been at its peak, and that is AI, artificial intelligence. We're going to see what role does artificial intelligence have in the sporting world, and do we see any possibilities of AI coming to the Namibian sporting industry? Is it possible? Will it happen? Can it happen? And yeah, we'll get into why or why not that will be. But before we get to that, as usual, we will first do our local sports roundup, and we will start with none other than the Namibian Premier League. Rounds 4 and 5 took place this weekend. Round 5 is taking place right now still, actually. We'll start with round 4, where KK Palace beat Blue Waters 1-0. Rundu Chiefs and Bucks Buccaneers played to a 0-0 draw. And the Life Fighters lost 2-0 to Comas Nampol. Chula Chula beat 11 Arrows 2-0. Julinho Athletic took another loss, and that was to Okahandja United. That is 1-0. And then in probably the surprise scoreline of the weekend, I would say, at the very least, is Mighty Gunners beating defending champions African Stars 2-1. Surprising result there. And then round 5, which is taking place today, the matches that have finished are Mighty Gunners destroying Comas Nampol 4-0, Chula Chula losing to Blue Waters 1-0, Julinho Athletics and the Bucks Buccaneers playing to a 1-1 draw, and then KK Palace taking a loss to 11 Arrows 1-0. And so the matches that still have to be played, I'll look in just a second if those matches have actually concluded or what the score is there, but it is Rundu Chiefs against Okahandja United, Live Fighters against African Stars, and then Young African facing off against UNAM FC. And let me just consult my sources to see if there has been an update in those matches. So far, I can tell you that 11 Arrows scored again, so it is now 2-0, excuse me, in the 11 Arrows KK Palace match. 11 Arrows in the lead by 2-0. And that is currently ongoing as well. UNAM FC in a 3-0 lead against Young African. Full time in the KK Palace match, actually. KK Palace lost 2-0 to 11 Arrows. Rundu Chiefs and Okahandja United play to a 1-1 draw. So we are just waiting for the Young African and UNAM fixture to conclude. If you're a supporter of either team, of any of the teams that I mentioned, call in. Let us know your thoughts. The number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401 is our number here in the studio. So that was the footballing results. We now move over to rugby, where our national team, as you know, or as you may not know, are over in the UAE, that is in Dubai, to attempt to qualify for the 2027 Rugby World Cup, which will be taking place in Australia. It is our last chance to do so after we fail to qualify through the Rugby Africa Cup, which is how we normally qualify. This year, we have to do it through a playoff tournament where we are playing matches against Belgium, Samoa, and Brazil. And we played our first match against Belgium yesterday. They're known as the Black Devils. Found that out yesterday as well. The football team, if I'm not mistaken, is called the Red Devils. But anyways, we lost 22-15 against Belgium. It was the first time these two, Namibia and Belgium, played against each other in a rugby match, and we came out on the losing side, unfortunately. But as I said, our hopes now for qualifying for the 2027 Rugby World Cup are in the hands of our matches against Samoa and Brazil. And I believe Belgium would have to lose a match as well, because only one of the four teams qualifies for the 2027 Rugby World Cup in Australia. And if we don't qualify, we haven't not played at a World Cup since we played at our first one, which I believe was in 97, whatever year it was that we played in our very first World Cup. Since then, we've always been to the World Cup. So this would be, we would be making history, not good history, if we don't qualify for this World Cup. But nonetheless, we are behind the team and hope to receive some good news from them during the week as they face Samoa, which will not be easy, and Brazil as well. And moving on to basketball, we have Namibia is actually hosting the FIBA Women's Basketball League Africa, that is the WBLA. Qualifiers currently underway. This was supposed to be a tournament consisting of 8 nations, but due to financial constraints from the other nations, which was quite unfortunate to hear about, but is a tale all too familiar with African sports. Only Angola and Malawi were able to come to Namibia. The matches are happening at the HPS. Namibia is actually playing right now against Malawi. We're playing Malawi right now. But yes, it's Angola, Malawi, and Namibia. The top two teams will qualify to the next round of qualifiers that will be taking place in Egypt. And so how it works is the countries are each represented by club teams. Namibia is represented by the UNAM Phoenix, who have won their local league here the last 4 consecutive years. Angola is represented by SC de Luanda. Malawi is represented by the Bravehearts Basketball Club. And Angola and Malawi already played, Angola beating them 83-55. For those that don't know, Angola is a powerhouse in basketball, in men's and women's basketball. So that big scoreline doesn't surprise me. And I hope our ladies will be able to put up a strong fight against Angola, but also against Malawi, which I said is happening right now. One of our guests that will be coming on shortly will be able to give us an update of what is happening there. But before we get to that, we have to talk some boxing. Some boxing took place over the weekend, yesterday in particular, at the Windhoek Country Club. It was the MTC Nesta Sunshine Boxing Academy held the WBO Africa Titles Redemption Boxing Bonanza. And now on the other side of this, we'll get into those results. We will be right back on the Eagle Sports Zone.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone, Eagle FM. Good evening.
Good evening, presenter.
Good evening. How are you doing this evening?
Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity.
Yes.
Honestly speaking, yesterday I think I acquired more experience.
Okay.
Yes, when it comes to management of sports.
Okay.
yesterday I was I watched those games that you were talking about. Sulasule, Arrow, this Arrows, and Blue Water.
Yeah.
And I watched them. I was at the ground. Unfortunately, it's just that I did not have my my Kangoma.
Mm.
When I used to watch Brave Warrior and all these things, I used to have the Kangoma. But we were Bambi on the soccer and all those things. But, maybe somebody must come and teach us how to brew those. What are those things that they brew in South Africa?
Which things are you talking about?
The one they say boo 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 when they are playing, you know?
Oh, the vuvuzelas.
Vuvuzela.
Yeah.
I think we need somebody to take up that activity and invest quickly. And you know, my brother, who is a teacher,
mm-hmm.
I was asking him,
yeah,
why is it that those sports fields, soccer fields, they are not? In fact, first he told me about the one of the private schools, how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to, you know, it was in that. A lot of issues, you know, these things. But the people, because the community, they found it fit to make sure that the private school is established.
Yeah.
And we know very well that even some of the local authorities, traditional authorities,
mm-hmm.
also prevent sports, sports field development to go on. Of course, we understand that we are not going to compromise on the animals where they are grazing land and things like that.
Yeah.
And many of the reasons that we are hearing now is that, I don't know, maybe people also coerce or convince the traditional or those village who allocate land.
Yeah.
So if you are to get a land somewhere where children are playing already,
mm-hmm.
and they sit for the field to be developed into like a Sakati Stadium or Katutula. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
You hear that, no, here we are grazing, our animals are grazing. And there are 2, 3, 4 examples that I can give you. So what we are saying is that if we really want development, we must be, I don't know whether you can use the word aggressive,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that sports is a money-making game. Let me use that word.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to one of the directors or whoever from this sport. And then my brother was telling me that because of that budget now, there is no specific vote within the Ministry of Education, for example.
Yeah.
That is directed and say, yes, this vote is for sports, is ramped in there, in those general expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
So, and can you see, sometimes we misalign issues there.
Yeah.
If, for example, now the sport and culture, I know this is integrated, it could work well. And then you know, reduce the duplication of resources and wastage of time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't allocate, for example, the vote that goes to that area, then that thing might end up being neglected. Obviously, it's going to be neglected.
Yeah.
So these are some of the things that we said, community development, sports, and all these things. We mentioned about Katana, how it came, and many other local authorities and all those things. We want to emulate those kind of examples.
Mm-hmm.
But these are some of the barriers. So I was expecting to see at least some of those games. I know there are maybe, and there are also, of course, the NBC is covering there. I saw some pictures and things like that.
Yeah, so I saw on social media that the stadium was quite full.
Well, everywhere it was full, everywhere.
Yeah.
And now, what our money that we are paying, where does it go?
It's a good question, I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm just wondering, the money that we are paying, where does it, is it not accounted for? They were asking even some of those young girls who were playing soccer, the female ones. I mean, I'm so good, so disappointed, man.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes we seem to be not serious.
So are you before I let you go, are you a Chula Chula or KK Palace fan?
KK, yesterday I was supporting KK.
Oh, you support both?
No, for Chula, I'm coming to both, you know, various by, you know, this brew water.
Oh.
You know, if you find me neutral, that means I support the one that is doing best.
No.
I don't support this one. People who are not serious.
You have to choose one team.
Oh, the one that is enticing me and the... But at home now, because I know KK, those days when it was built, when it was performed, most of my catechumens, I think there are about five of them who were playing that KK.
Mm.
Those years, the 95, the 90 something, yeah. So most of them are from my category to do well. But that's why I still support them. They were playing well yesterday. You said today they were defeated by what?
Who, KK?
Yes.
They lost to 11 Arrows, 2-0.
Oh, 2-0.
Yeah.
2-0, imagine. Yeah, 11 Arrows is very good.
Yeah.
Ah, those guys, they are good. They entertain you. The soccer ball is on the ground.
Mm.
There are balls on the ground. Unfortunately, they couldn't penetrate in their Chula Chula yesterday. And I think today, Chula Chula, maybe my boy might have scored. I did not go there today.
Mm.
So yesterday he was the reserve. I didn't play. I know he was always calling.
Yeah.
And I told him that he must be called today. What is the result of Chula Chula and whoever was they were playing? Well, they are still in the field.
Chula Chula today?
Yes.
They lost to Blue Waters 1-0.
See now, how can they lose with Blue Water? Okay, so nevertheless, Blue Water is also good. I respect them.
Okay.
All the best, man.
Thank you.
But this area of the money and the vote specific, because you know, if you lump some of those things in the general expenditure, I've got experience when we deal with gender issue. They will tell you now that no, we are not discriminating. Our laws are not discriminatory. We are catering for each and everyone, but those people have different needs.
Yeah.
So it's a confusion that I'm hearing.
We will investigate.
Please investigate that one so that we don't want easy money. Because you are also saying airtime. When the airtime that you allocate to political parties, why can't it also be allocated to some of these things? And we say, yes, here there are people who want to invest, they want to sponsor this program, mobilize for the resources so that we watch games as well.
Mm.
Good.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, there was the caller contribution. Good to hear that we have listeners going to Namibian Premier League matches. If you attended a match, call in, tell us how it was. 0832888401. I saw that one. I believe that was, if I'm not mistaken, Oshakati Independence Stadium. From what I saw on social media, it looked packed. So good to see. And hopefully there'll be matches soon at, what's the new one that they just built? The name is leaving me now. But the new facility that they built up there in the north, as well as obviously when the Ondangwa Sports Stadium is complete, we will see full stadiums there, not just for football, but for all other sports as well. And as I was saying, I was doing the boxing news. Yes, boxing. We had the MTC Nesta Sunshine Boxing Academy held the WBO Africa Titles Redemption Boxing Bonanza on Saturday night at the Vinto Country Club. If you'd like to see footage, if you'd like to see photos, go to our social media pages. We were there yesterday evening, giving you some visuals from the evening. Packed house as per usual at the Country Club. And among the anticipated fights was the heavyweight matchup between Naftali Shayapo and Vikapita Meroro. Shayapo ended up winning the national heavyweight title via unanimous decision. That was a fight that had the crowd going. I think our our boxing supporters just enjoy seeing heavyweights fight, honestly. We Namibians like boxing in general, as I said. Full house as usual. So full that people had to watch from outside. Like the room at the country club couldn't accommodate the number of people that came to watch. But heavyweight in particular, I think us as Namibians, we really enjoy seeing heavyweights go at it. And then, Paulinus, aka John. He claimed one of the WBO titles, excuse me. Coming into the fight against, South African Snamiso Ntuli. He came into the fight with only one professional loss on his resume and left the fight, as I said, since he won, left the fight still with just one loss on his resume, getting his 20th win via a 10th round technical knockout and walked home with the WBO Africa Super Middleweight title. The main event saw Mateus Hayter, aka The Beast, take on Clement Loco from Benin for the WBO Africa Featherweight title. Both fighters came into this one with one loss on their resume. And truthfully speaking, The Beast made very easy work of his West African opponent. He won the fight via a technical knockout in the 4th round. And after the fight, he even said, I knew this guy's not on my level. He said it was not going to go beyond 6, and he stayed true to his word, finishing it in 4. Both The Beast and Nestor both mentioned after the fight how, you know, now the next step is to get another world title fight. The only loss on The Beast record is actually the world title fight that he had in New York earlier this year at Madison Square Garden against Bruce Carrington, America's Bruce Carrington. That was for the WBC Interim Featherweight World Title. So hopefully this will be a step in the right direction for The Beast, and he will get another shot at a world title, and we can finally have another world champion amongst our boxers, so that our guys stop fighting, you know, these guys from Benin. And these, I mean, respect to the gentleman from Benin that came to fight, but anyone that saw the fight saw that, you know, there was quite the gap in skill, let's say it like that. So, before we get into our Pan-African segment, we will look at some international football results. Let's start with the English Premier League, where we had round 11 of matches started with Tottenham Hotspur playing against Manchester United to a 2-2 draw. That had a dramatic finish with Richarlison taking a 2-1 lead for Spurs before Matthias de Ligt equalized for Manchester United in the 96th minute. Then you also had Arsenal playing to a 2-2 draw against Sunderland. Quite a shocking result. Shocking result on paper. If you see where Sunderland are in the table, which is currently 4th, it's not that surprising, but on the other side of this, we'll finish the results.
Has your phone ever taken a nosedive into the kitchen sink? Take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Fast, reliable, same-day approval. Apply for a quick cash loan. Call 90,000.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. I was going through the English Premier League results. So we stopped at Arsenal playing to a 2-2 draw against Sunderland, the newly promoted Black Cats. Now we had Chelsea beat Wolves 3-0, convincing victory for the Blues. Then you have the match of the weekend. Undoubtedly, the match of the weekend. That'll be Manchester City against Liverpool, kicking off any second now if it hasn't already. Crucial match for the title race, really. Because as I said, Arsenal are in the lead. On top of the table on 26 points. Chelsea second on 20. Man City are on, well, as it stands right now, since the match just started, are on 19 points if the match were to end in a draw. Chelsea is in third on 20 points, and then Liverpool right now is on 19 points if the match were to end in a draw. So, you know, that top four is getting quite tight. Arsenal slowly pulling away, but Manchester City could have something to say about that. And if we look at La Liga, Real Madrid is playing against Rayo Vallecano right now at 0-0, and then Barcelona will play against Celta Vigo tonight at 10 p.m. The table in La Liga currently, we have Real Madrid in first place on 31 points and Barcelona in third place on 25 points. In second place is Villarreal on 26, and rounding off the top four is Atletico Madrid on 25 points. So, as we head into our Pan-African segment, I almost forgot the question, the trivia question of today. It's in line with our topic. As I said, we're going to discuss AI and sports today. So, the question of the day is, if you can call in and tell me, you know, I could only find this one particular team. So the answer to the question is this one team. But if you know of another, call in and let me know. But the question is, name a, let's call it Southern African, so it can be a bit easier. Name a Southern African team that is implementing artificial intelligence. I'm going to give you another hint. It's a football team. Name a South Af- I almost gave it away. Name a Southern African football team that has publicly said that they make use of artificial intelligence in their daily operations. Like I said, I could only find this one team, but if you know of another, you are welcome to call in. The number is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. But now let's move into our Pan-African segment, where we will have a guest on the line in a few moments to discuss one of the stories we have on the Pan-African segment. Today is a pretty short one, but let's get into it right on the other side of this.
Across Africa, sports unites us. From Lagos to Lusaka, from Cairo to Cape Town, we are one. This is the Pan-African Sports Segment, live on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome to the Pan-African segment, where we discuss sporting news happening on our beautiful continent. And we're going to start with our neighbors down south. That is South Africa, where the South African rugby captain, Mr. Siya Kolisi, he reached a new milestone with the Springboks as he achieved his 100th test cap in South Africa's 32-17 win over France in Paris over the weekend. And this is a historic feat. Why? Because only eight others, excluding Siya now, only eight other men in the history of the South African national team have hit this milestone. So, congratulations to Siya. And, he's come a long way. He's 34 now. No, he's been playing for the Springboks since 2013. Trying to think what I was doing in 2013. It's definitely still in high school. I might have been like grade 10 maybe? 9 maybe? I'm not sure. I think 9. But yeah, so he's been playing for a long time and has now reached the century mark of appearances. As I said, only 8 other men in the history of, in the illustrious history of South African rugby have achieved that feat. And our second and last story for today's Pan-African segment is a story that we're bringing back home, where the FIFA Football for Schools program commenced in Namibia, in Windhoek, at the Technical Center. And on the other side of this, we will engage with the director of marketing over at the Namibian Football Association, that is Mr. Isaac Imata. We'll be back with him on the other side of this brief commercial.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We can talk.
On the line, we are now joined by Mr. Isaac Imata from the NFA. Mr. Isaac, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good, sir. Yourself?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for making time for us. So, Mr. Isaac, the reason we have you on the line is to talk about the FIFA Football for Schools program. Can you give the listeners a bit of a insight into what this is and why this program is of importance?
Maybe let me just provide some background what Football for Schools is. We call it FOS, Football for Schools. It's one of those programs that FIFA has initiated to really ensure that we entrench football across all systems, particularly in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Football for Schools enables us to provide training to young children, boys and girls, combining football with education, which is really to teach our children skills like teamwork, respect, discipline, anything that makes them the type of human being that we desire to have when they become adults. So it makes Football for Schools makes football accessible through the systems. It integrates football into the curriculum. It empowers learners, students. It builds capacity for coaches and educational institutions. It's not just about playing football. It's about what you can learn to create an individual that tomorrow will provide you with the necessary attitude, skills, and behavior that you need in society, that you need in the corporate space, mm-hmm. that you need in government, that you need wherever.
So is this like a continuous thing? Is it a month-long thing, or how long exactly does this last?
No, it's a continuous thing. It's happening across the globe.
Okay.
We are part of that global happening.
Mm-hmm.
You would have known that part of this program includes providing the necessary tools, which is training, physical tools like balls, equipment, and things to the selected schools.
Mm-hmm.
So that this program targets a particular age group. So every year, a new group of young learners come in. They are taught and they face out. They obviously go into the under 15 system, under 17 system, under 20 system, senior team system. We also recognize that not every football player will become part of the national system, national team system. But at that primary school level, they would have learned the basic skills, as I said earlier, that are necessary to form that type of human being that we desire to have in society. somebody who is respectful, somebody who knows what teamwork. Teamwork is not just in football or in any other sport. It is something in society.
It's help a life skill.
It's a life skill. Help, love thy neighbor.
Yeah.
Treat your neighbor as you would want to be treated. Things like that. It's biblical. It's all over. So that is what these life skills are all about. To be the human being, I will repeat that, to be the human being that society deserves to have.
Yeah.
Respectful, reducing crime, reducing intake of alcohol by young people, truancy from schools, illegal substance abuse, all of those, disrespect for elders and parents and so on, and doing your civic duties as a young Namibian. Those are the things that this program is instilling in our young people in our country.
Yeah. And what was the response from the kids this weekend during the launch of the campaign?
Very, very, very overwhelming. Let me we are talking about football for schools.
Yeah.
But let me just remind you that on Friday we had the launch of the TDS, which is the Talent Development Scheme.
Okay.
If you just allow me for a minute,
yes,
I'll explain to you what it is about. The Talent Development Scheme is an Arsene Wenger brainchild. Arsene Wenger, of course, having been the Arsenal coach, he sits at FIFA, is the head of talent development. He has come up with this program called TDS. In Namibia, we want to have 121 leagues for under 15 boys and girls, under 17 boys and girls. 121 number is important because that's the number of constituencies we have in this country. Now, how we do it in terms of, we cannot say if in commerce we use the academies to form the leagues. We will do the same in Kavango. If the school system there works, if community teams work for them, as long as we have leagues that work, we are not going to insist that it necessarily must be schools or academies. Every region then would have to say which is practical for us. And on the basis of that, they then get the support to run these leagues. At the end of that, after a period, we will then bring a pool of the best cream of the crop to Vendu.
Mm-hmm.
They will then form what is going to be called the NFA Talent Academy. Now,
okay.
Out of this academy will then be your best players who will then form the under 15 boys and girls national teams, under 17 boys and girls national teams. So that's the one. Then on Saturday, yesterday, we then reignited the football for schools, which was 8 schools chosen from Bandung schools, which played the tournament, and MRGF this morning won both the boys and the girls sections of the tournament.
Mm.
So, and I can tell you they had fun. The tournament is not just about playing football. They were also introduced to different types of cards. You know, in mainstream football, we have yellow and red cards.
Yeah.
Here they were introduced to blue cards, which you, when you do other things over and above the football elements of the game, you then get rewarded more points, maybe discipline, teamwork, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what they taught, were taught today and yesterday. It's not only about winning. You can win, and if you win dirty and ugly, you can't consider yourself a winner. But if you lose and you win gracefully, you are a winner in somebody's eyes because your blue card tally would be more than what the others have gotten. So all of these things is what you are taught, and these cards are helping people to understand that winning is the ultimate. Yes, you do something because you want to be number one. You want to be the best. But it's not always the best that is the best.
Exactly.
Sometimes you can run faster than myself, but you have cheated. For instance, you can play as a 17-year-old in an under-13 tournament. How do you celebrate that you have won? So being integrity, being ethical is also an issue that these kids were taught. So be honest, be truthful, be ethical.
100%.
Apart from teamwork, discipline, and all of those things.
Yeah.
So that is really what they were taught. It's a continuous thing. There's going to be 800 coaches that will be trained across the country to
800.
Make sure that they enforce 800 coaches.
Sure.
They enforce this football for schools. It's not a big number. Considering the number of learners that we have, it's not a big number. You would find that there are many more that want to be trained. Unfortunately, budgets only allow for that number of people. But over time, we will then maybe start the train-the-trainer type of arrangement where those that have been trained will be training the others. And therefore, because sometimes you find there are kids that are not necessarily in school where they must be, but they are outside the school system.
Yeah.
And you find a guy who is not a teacher who wants to be a coach. And he has this group of kids who are not in school. He can then be taught or trained. And then he leads those kids. And the important thing is that those kids are not ill-disciplined.
Yeah.
They are not mischievous.
Yeah.
And that's how I remember I used to play for a team where the slogan was catch them young. So when we catch them young through all these mechanisms, it helps to build a proper society based on proper behavioral norms, making the society respectful and respectable, where football also then thrives as the sports code that people will go to and say, I want my child to play football because there they are taught manners.
Mm-hmm. No, there's so the 800, will they get like a certification or at the end of their training, or how does that work?
Yeah, every FIFA training ends with a certification.
Okay,
but otherwise,
okay.
How do you tell the next guy that you have been trained in something?
Yeah, exactly.
Every, and also one of the basic necessities is also they must undergo safeguarding training.
Mm-hmm.
Before they go through the coaching training, the life skills training as we know it, there has to be a moment where they go through the safeguarding training. Because when you work with people's kids, there are some sensitivities that you must be aware of. We are in a world where things are happening. There are people that you need to trust, and if you don't trust them, you cannot necessarily throw your children in the hands of people that you hope they were good, but then they become prey, they become abusers. So you need to try out these people, test them. Mm-hmm. What do they stand for? Do they know, do they understand when there's a man dealing with a girl child, for instance, when there's a woman dealing with a boy child?
Yeah.
The do's and don'ts about how you interact and engage with people of the opposite sex, subordinates of the opposite sex. So all of these things, that's what you are taught in safeguarding.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you are then taught the basics of life skills coaching, the football for schools type of coaching, you then know, as you do the coaching, you know what to do and what not to do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thank you very much for that insight. And before I let you go, before I called you, we had a caller on that said he attended the Premier League matches in the North where Chula Chula and Blue Waters and 11 Arrows and KK Palace were playing. And he was very happy with how full the stadium was. And I know I always ask you about attendance at local matches, but I wasn't there, but I saw on socials that the stadium was packed there. So I just wanted to get your thoughts I'm not sure if you saw or not, but how packed the stadium was. What do you think about that?
No, I followed the match also on the socials.
Yeah.
Because when you do a number of things today, Sunday, you are at church, you are at the football for schools. I'm now at basketball and you called me out.
Yeah.
So the socials help you to navigate between platforms.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the numbers of people, and I'm very happy. And I think in our earlier discussion a couple of weeks back, I said it's a matter of time before people start to attend games.
Yeah.
It's in the beginning. We probably had a short notice in terms of when the league will start. People were probably not prepared, but as people get accustomed to the league happening, matches happening, and some of them are also picking opponents. For instance, yesterday, the Walvis Bay-based teams lost. And you know, Blue Waters particularly has a big fan base in the North.
Yeah.
There are players who exchange from Eshoke to Blue Waters, from Blue Waters to Eshoke, and so on. So that rivalry exists.
Yeah.
And they most of them are supporting both teams. So they wanted to see. Yesterday, the Coastal teams lost. Today, the Northern teams lost to the Coastal team. That's the type of rivalry that attracts people to the stadium. And I'm very happy. I know Ochiwarongo also had a packed stadium where African Stars, Life Fighters played. They played a 0-0 draw there. Metigana defeated the police outfit in the Battle of Uniforms 4-0. So these are the types of derbies that attract people to the stadium. You might not always find that the stadium is packed. It's what people, for instance, today, I suppose, in Ochiwarongo, all the military men and the police officers went to watch that match between Commerce Nampol and Mighty Gunners.
Yeah.
And the second game, obviously, there's also a rivalry between Life Fighters and African Stars, which ended in a stalemate. You remember that both lost. Life Fighters has never won a game since they came back to the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
African Stars lost their first game. So today was a very important game for both not to lose. Otherwise, they would go into the history books again. So all of these type of elements, they then are the attractions for people to come and watch football. As I said, it might not be always that people will flock to the stadium, but if we package our games in such a way that there's always a standout game, people will make sure the stadiums are packed.
100%. Mr. Amata, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you very much. I wish you a blessed evening.
And enjoy the rest of the basketball.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yes, that was Isa Kimata of the NFA giving us some insight into the developmental programs that are happening as thanks to FIFA. Surprised to hear 800 coaches are getting chained. So it's a good number to hear, but according to him, that's even a small number. So, you know, we have to start somewhere. I'm glad we're starting there. And speaking of Namibian Premier League, let me just give you an update of what the table looks like after 5 matches have been played. In first place, you have a Mighty Gunners, who are yet to lose a match, by the way. You have Mighty Gunners on 13 points. Second place, African Stars on 10 points. Third place, KK Palace on 10 points as well. And fourth, Okahandja United. Okahandja United on 8 points. In the bottom three, you have Life Fighters at the very bottom, yet to win a match. It's actually four teams that still haven't won a match, and that includes Life Fighters, who are in 16th, Tigers, Ingwe, in 15th, on 1 point as well, Julinho on 1 point, and then Rundu Chiefs in 13th, one place above the relegation zone, also yet to win a match on 3 points. So, that is what we have in terms of local football. And now, we head into our topic of the day, which is artificial intelligence in the sporting realm. And so, if you had seen the social media post for the show today, one of the questions that was on there was, is there a place for AI in sport? Right? Well, the answer to that is yes. I actually don't know why I put that on there, because the answer is overwhelmingly yes. What the question should have said is, to what extent can we use AI in sport? Right? And before we get into that, let's define what it is when we talk about AI. What is artificial intelligence? And so the textbook definition, the dictionary definition of artificial intelligence, aka AI, is the application of computer systems able to perform tasks or produce output normally requiring human intelligence, especially by applying machine learning techniques to large collections of data. So we're not just talking about how can technology be used in sport. We're talking about artificial intelligence in particular, because technology in sport has been in sport for decades now. You know, most recently you have things like your VAR, your various GPS trackers, things like that. You know, things to monitor the physiological nature of athletes. You know, sports science, essentially. A lot of technology is used there, but we're talking about artificial intelligence in particular. You know, I go back to the definition. Something that normally requires human intelligence. And by applying machine learning techniques to a large collections of data. And as I said today, when we talk about this, we're going to try to see how the things that we're going to talk about today fit or can be applied to in Namibia. And right there in the definition of artificial intelligence itself, the word data, something we have a very, 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 very big problem in our country. Not just sports, across a wide range of industries, but sports in particular. Data is a big, big problem. You know, if I were to ask you guys listening, or if I were to ask anyone, you know, even Mr. Hamata, who we just had on, who's from the NFA, if I had to ask, can I please see, African Stars Mighty Gunners, the match last season, I'd like to know how many yellow cards were in that match, when did they take place? It would be very difficult, I'm inclined to say almost impossible, to get that information. And if you were to get it, it would take a very long time for them to sift through, like, physical papers, right? That's because there's no at least to my knowledge, there's no database where all such information is stored. Or if I were to ask, I think it was Makonja who won the Golden Boot last year. So if I were to ask the Golden Boot winner of last year, can I know which matches did he score his first 5 goals, for example? There's something simple like that. It would be very difficult to get that information. And let's not even talk about things that happened years prior. So that's one of the key issues that we would have when it comes to implementing AI in our sports is that word data. But anyways, examples of artificial intelligence are things like, you know, your ChatGPT, things like Grok, things like Sora AI. Sora AI is that that video generator platform, that the one that some of you that are listening have been fooled by before. You know, where you see videos of things like the president saying, if you send 5,000 here, you'll get 50,000 back. You know, some people believe those things, and that's made with tools such as video generating tools such as Sora AI, right? So that's what I mean when we talk about artificial intelligence. And so before we get into the first sort of speaker that I have for you today, I would like to read off some stats about the sports AI market for you, some figures, some analytics. And this is coming from itransition.com. And according to them, the global AI in sports market was valued at $1.2 billion in 2024 and is projected to hit $4.7 billion in 2034, growing at a compounded annual growth rate of 17.4% between 2025 and 2034. Right. And, machine learning, which is what I was just describing, where you feed this machine with constant sets of data, constant sets of information, was the leading tech segment with a market share of 41% in 2024. The 5 tech companies leading the AI in sports industry, excuse me, in 2024 were IBM, SAS, SAP, Catapult. Catapult is those, like, you know, when you see, you know, where there's football players, rugby players wearing kind of like sports bra looking like things. They're more often than not made by that company, Catapult. Sportradar AG with a combined market share of 24%. And then the global sports analytics market was valued at $4.47 billion in 2024. And is expected to grow at a rate of 20.6% between 2025 and 2030. With AI and machine learning integration fueling this trend. So sports can, artificial intelligence can be used in various things. There's, on the other side of this talk I want you to listen to. I'll get into some real life examples of artificial intelligence in sport. And, yeah, we'll take it from there. And don't forget the line in the studio 0832888401 if you'd like to answer the trivia question of today, which is name me a Southern African football team that is implementing artificial intelligence in their operations. I think the answer is quite simple. If you put your thinking cap on, you'll be able to think about it very quickly. You know, if you think about how expensive, that's another hint I'm giving you, how expensive it is to use, to acquire, to implement, to operate artificial intelligence, you will come to the answer pretty quickly. But anyways, I'll be back on the other side of this brief talk. And we'll continue the AI conversation from there.
Now I'm going to start by getting you to visualize sporting greatness. And what do you see? It's probably athletes like LeBron James, Caitlin Clarks, Saquon Barkley, Simone Biles, Ronaldo, Messi. You see, we tend to think of athletes from quite a small subset of countries. So I'd forgive you for thinking that the best talent in the world just comes from those places. But that's not strictly true. Because talent existed long before their sporting greatness. And many things have to happen along the way for them to realize their potential. Now, one thing that's commonly overlooked is that they got an opportunity and were visible. See, talent exists everywhere. It's finding the talent that can be the challenge. So how do we do that? Now, typically, that's scouting. It's every young athlete's dream to be scouted. You see the old guy up in the bleachers, he's writing his notes, and later you get the call. He wants you to try out. It's a thrilling fantasy for so many people. There's only so many scouts. Now, I'm from the UK, where Chelsea Football Club have one of the most prestigious and well-funded youth academy programs in the world. But each Premier League team, or each Premier League scout, can only see about 2,000 players per year. But millions play the game. And even from those 2,000, it's already super limited by the player's geography, their cost factors, their access factors. Lots of young people are now taking that into their own hands. They're uploading social media clips of their best plays online. But now we've just replaced a human with an algorithm that's not designed for talent ID to decide who gets seen. What do we do about that? It's simply not possible for Chelsea Football Club to see every talent in the world. Or is it? See, there's technologies now, like computer vision, AI, and deep learning, that are helping us bridge that gap. Now, personally, I'm not a scout or a coach. My route was biomechanics, which is the science of motion. And like many people in my profession, we work in sports laboratories or with clubs with a remit of improving athlete performance or reducing injury risk. And it was working in my lab that one day, my now founder and CEO, Darren Perrys, walked in with his son, Reef, who was struggling with an injury. And we started analyzing him with all this wonderful equipment. And we got talking about the scouting problem. And he noted just how unfair and biased scouting could be. He'd seen it himself. Entire futures could be decided in one day by one person who has an opinion. He noted how completely devoid of data youth scouting can be. And he said to me, what if we took all this lab protocols, all the data, all the equipment, and put them into a set of standardized smartphone drills so any kid anywhere in the world could be tested fairly and equitably? For me, it was a brilliant vision to a genuine problem. So I joined his team, AI.io, where we build AI-based solutions across all of sport. Now, the first thing we built was AI Scout for the problem at hand. And here's how it worked. Simply speaking, kid downloads an app for free, and they record themselves doing these predefined drills directly from the phone. We use computer vision AI in the cloud to analyze that. We analyze 22 key body segments. We can even do things like turn the 2D video into an inferred 3D. And bringing all that together, we get things like, what direction did they run? How did they turn? How high did they jump? The speed, the symmetry, the coordination, and so on. But collecting that raw level data is just one part of the problem. So you've got to be able to interpret that data. And you've got to be able to score an athlete based on that data. And most importantly, you've got to make it specific for those that are looking for talent. Specificity is key here. For example, in football, soccer, for the Americans in the audience, each team or scout or coach kind of look for a different thing, depending on what they need at that given moment of time. So some teams or coaches might want athletes with power and pace. Others might want coordination and technique and great body movement. So we have to make our scout, we have to be tailored on that club-by-club basis. Now, to answer these questions and really to build out that product, we partnered with two Premier League teams, Burnley Football Club and Chelsea Football Club. And we started by just asking directly, if we could analyze any kid in the world from a smartphone and give you football-specific metrics, what do you need to know to make that relevant to you and to use it? And interestingly, they said comparable, benchmarkable, reliable data. And above all else, both themselves and the kids they'd be analyzing would need to understand where the data is coming from. There could be no ambiguity. So we started developing these predefined drills with them. They were 10-meter sprints. They were counter-movement jumps. They were dribbling through cones. They were passing. They were shooting. This is nothing new. This was just genuine things that scouts would normally look at to make an assessment of a player. And then we sat down with those scouts and looked for a ton of video. Do you prefer player A or player B? Now, it turns out the art of scouting is actually incredibly complex. So much of what an experienced scout does is really intuitive. So whilst they knew they preferred player B, and maybe most of us can, looking at the video here, they couldn't articulate it to us. So we had to sit with them, ask the questions, and turn their insights into something we could use to score. We created the algorithm. And with that algorithm, we just pumped thousands of videos through it. So we started to make benchmarks and standards across age and gender. Because, of course, you can't analyze a 13-year-old to a 22-year-old. The 22-year-old's almost always going to be bigger, stronger, faster. You need to compare 13-year-olds to 13-year-olds so you can really see who stands out. And talking of standing out, I'll never forget, when we were first developing the app, we recruited 50 college kids from the UK. They were, honestly, kind of average footballers, except this one guy, Ben. They all did our drills, and he was head and shoulders above the rest, like just really, really good. Like he was 17. How has this guy not been scouted before? And the crazy thing is, he lived just minutes down the road from Chelsea FC training grounds. He wasn't in some remote village. He was literally down the road from the world's best academies. The system didn't see him, but we did. I'll cut a long story short here, but this is where we knew what we were building was working. Because he got a trial for Chelsea Football Club. He scored in his under-18 debut. And he later signed for another Premier League club and even represented his country. That wasn't enough. We needed to test this in those remote places. This should be for everyone. Now, theoretically, because all the heavy lifting is done in the cloud, the analysis of the video, the processing, the scoring, the modeling, it means that whether you're from London or Mumbai, if you've got access to a smartphone, this thing can work. And we were lucky to partner with Reliance Foundation in India. They have an amazing program where they send scouts out every single year and find the best 11-year-old talent to give them 5-year scholarships to play sport and have free education. But the best of those generally going on to play professional sport in India. Same problem as Chelsea. A few scouts, see a few thousand people, potentially millions that are eligible. So they turned to us to try and find some of those hard-to-reach kids in difficult locations. And they put out a call on WhatsApp to their audience. New to us to do this on WhatsApp, but the parents and students were asked to download an app and do the drills inside the phone and trial for the Reliance Foundation directly from AR Scout. Tens of thousands of kids now do this every single year. And the best ones, based on their data, get sent to an in-person talent ID day where the scouts make the decision who gets those scholarships. It's a great example of how we're augmenting the scouting process, not just replacing their processes. The best example of success, whilst we've had many there, is one player who actually downloaded the app from a shared community phone, had never played organized sport, and got himself a 5-year scholarship. On top of that, only last year, the IOC and their partner at the time, Intel, they reached out to us about the up-and-coming Youth Olympics, which is in Senegal. They had a little concern that actually the Senegalese national teams didn't have enough talent to fit all the teams that are going to be in those Youth Olympics. Now, here's the great thing about the technology. You want to play football? You can trial for a football club through our app. It can also do the opposite. Based on your strengths, it can tell you what you might be good at. So if you've got great acceleration, great reactive strength, it could be rugby sevens or futsal. If you've got great upper body power and hand-eye coordination, it could be a baseball or a softball. And that's exactly what we did. We put the app into tablets. We gave it to military leaders and school teachers, and they just stood there, and they recorded the kids in their class. A few days into that, thousands of kids later, 40 are now being trained ahead of those Youth Olympics in things like wrestling and athletics and football. Now, where does this go from here? So the app today runs through partnership programs, talent ID initiatives, with clubs, with federations, sometimes their brand partners all in the app, where hundreds of thousands of kids trial and do these drills. Hundreds of those have had successful outcomes and are playing professional sport. And where do we go from here? Actually, we go global with this, right? So it's now multi-language is starting to roll out into the app. Multi-cloud is coming, so it can be cloud agnostic, which means we can put country-specific things into the app in any region that we need to work with. And right here in the US, proud to announce that the MLS, or Major League Soccer, as we know it here, have rolled this out to their MLS Next program. 45,000 kids right now are using the app 3 times per year. Pre-season, mid-season, post-season. So we can track and monitor their changes over time. And the great thing is the scouts and the coaches get all the data in real time via our control center. It's not a black box, but something they can trust and learn from the data and see where that data is coming from. And where else do we go? it's probably not a big leap for you all to imagine how we start to move into things like at-home healthcare and medical. But we're also starting to create the kind of movement libraries for American football, for basketball, for baseball, for cricket. Because the underlying movement primitives, the cut, the deceleration, the jump, the throw, the strike, they translate well across quite a lot of sports. Because one thing in sport is always true. Talent is universal. And brilliance exists in every corner of the globe. Now with technology and your very own smartphone, you can make that talent visible and level the playing field. Thank you.
So that was a description of how AI can be used in sport. Not just a description, a successful story, really, of how AI has been used in sport, and that is in the area of talent identification. Now, this kind of goes perfectly with what Isaac Imata was just talking about. You know, the map he laid out about the various corners of the country where there's football talent, and how this gentleman in the clip I just played talks about how this is not meant to, how this technology is not meant to replace, you know, your traditional scout network, your traditional methods of talent identification. It's just there to supplement it. It's there to help you identify the players you normally wouldn't have identified. Not because you are an incompetent scout or you don't do your job well or anything. Simply because you're only a human. You can only scout so many talents at a particular given time. Right, and he said, Premier League scouts, you know, like some of the ones that he mentioned, he said they see 2,000 players per year. Now, I'll be interested to know as to what that number looks like in Namibia. I actually don't even know if we have, you know, certified scouts in the country. But either way, those that are doing the scouting, I would be interested to know what is their number at per year. How many talents do they see per year? And I mean, considering our population, I don't think it would be at the 2,000 number. But regardless, the point is, a technology such as this would help us in identifying talent all over the country, not just for football. We're talking about all different kinds of sports in the country. You know, there's a big sentiment from, especially, you guys have called in and said that before, that, you know, our teams are full of players from just certain parts in the country. There's parts of the country where we never get athletes from, really. You know, especially the South. And I'm convinced that there's a big pool of talent in the South. But it's very rare that you hear about athletes from the South, you know. When I think about athletes from the South, I think about Zenata Coleman. Maybe one or two others, but, you know, it's seldom compared to other parts of the country. So AI would be definitely a tool that will help with talent identification. And, another area that AI would help with in the sporting landscape is the analyzing of performance. But before I get to that one, it just slipped my mind now. Before I get to that one, when I was talking about the data and the lack of it in Namibia, again, this is something that actually the National Sports Commission, not exactly this, but something in the line of this, was looking to solve what do they call it? Data. I forget the exact name, but it was supposed to be this platform where the various data from the various federations was all supposed to be hosted in one place. This was back in maybe like April, May, around that time of the year. And I remember I brought it here to the Eagle Sports Zone about you know, how finally we'll have this database that will give us this information. And we're now in November, approaching mid-November, and the thing still hasn't been launched. So these are some of the barriers that implementing AI in Namibian sport now in particular, it's barriers such as that will get in the way. Other than, you know, of course, your standard, your digital infrastructure, your access to internet, access to a smart device, access to electricity, period. So, you know, other than that, those are some of the barriers that would prevent us from implementing AI in our sporting world. But next, I want to move to analyzing performance. And that is one of the, when I said real world examples, is I talked about the Catapult Smart Vest. And basically what these do, they just monitor, you know, athletes during training and matches. These are what they call smart wearable devices. They can measure metrics such as distance sprints, such as your speed. They help coaches optimize a player's workload while preventing overtraining and minimizing the risk of injuries. So there's the technology behind that is what is the artificial intelligence, right? So the related AI-powered application can also track athletes via heat maps to assess whether their play aligns with what the tactical objectives are. And after we get to the analyzing performance, this leads into the other point I was talking that we're going to mention of how AI can be is linked with sports is on the broadcast side. I'm sure all of you guys that watch sports, you'll see, you know, when they go to halftime or even during the match now, they'll show you like a heat map of this is where so-and-so and player was. You know, the map will be like will be red in a particular corner, showing that he spent most of his time in that vicinity of the field. That's artificial intelligence also. That's artificial intelligence being incorporated into the broadcast of matches. See, so there's a wide range of how artificial intelligence can be used, and there's different factors that you can focus on when you have tools like this to analyze a player's performance, and it can give you deep insights on both the individual performances and the performance of your team as a whole. Like I said, if you just watch any broadcast in the present day, when they go to their board, when they go to their tactical board, all of that technology that you're seeing, when they have like the players' names with like a little dot on it, they're showing how the play moves throughout the match and things like that. All of that is artificial intelligence, and of course that can be used by coaches before, during, and after matches. When you see on the benches, you see coaches with iPads. Then, you know, they don't have them just there to play games on the iPad. They're using various forms of technology to help them optimize their job and help them achieve their goals, essentially. So that's another way we could use artificial intelligence here, especially for our national teams. I'm not too sure if rugby implements that or not. I don't know about football either. I don't know the extent of their tactical analysis. Maybe we should have asked Isak on that. But from judging from what I've seen in person, they don't implement that. I do know that they implement the catapult, the sports bra looking like thing. But as far as live tactics, like real time information, I don't think we have that yet in Namibia, and I think it would go a long way in terms of improving our national team's performances. But before we continue, I'd like to play you a video on how artificial intelligence is changing or has changed football, really. This will give you a better insight into what I tried to explain for the past few minutes now.
If you want to be the best in professional football, you're going to have to need the best players, the best training, and the best strategy. And now to stay at the top of the game, it's becoming increasingly important to also have the best AI. So how is artificial intelligence changing football? Could you imagine supporting a football team made up of robots? These robots are already able to play against each other on the football field. The goal of the RoboCup organisers is that by 2050, their robots will be able to defeat football's world champions. To be honest though, it's hard to imagine traditional football fans being that excited about a robot football team. But technology is becoming more and more important in sport, whether fans like it or not. A digital clock for documenting yellow and red cards. Lions people keep the ref in the loop via radio, and with the help of video assistant referees, or VAR, the game is assessed from all angles. Pitchside monitors provide video evidence. It's undeniable. Professional football is more technical than ever. Jochen Drees is responsible for referee innovation at the German Football Association, known as the DFB.
The use of technology makes soccer fairer. It makes decisions verifiable, more transparent. Decisions can be assessed as right or wrong. The vast majority of decisions can be categorized in this way.
But fans aren't always as enthusiastic. It can take a long time for data to be evaluated.
You have to be careful that the technology doesn't take over. You have to differentiate between times when using it makes sense and when it might endanger the nature of the game. At the end of the day, it's still the referee who must decide whether the outputs provided match their perception on the pitch.
And that's where AI applications come in. The World Football Association FIFA has already gradually used a new semi-automatic offside detector in tournaments. Cameras mounted under the stadium roof and sensors in the ball send data to an AI system. This then calculates the relative position of players and the ball 500 times a second. It then generates 3D models and notifies the referee when a player is offside.
Someone calls it robot offside. It's not. Still the referees are the assistant referees, still responsible for the decision on the field of play.
VAR is a controversial topic in football, but it's not going anywhere, so football fans might as well embrace it. And that's where artificial intelligence can actually help. As the tech gets better, referees will be able to make better decisions. Of course, that means training the systems properly, and football authorities do need to ensure it's safeguarded against manipulation by humans.
There have been referees who have deliberately manipulated matches. So of course, when introducing technologies, we must ensure that they run as securely as possible. For example, that they cannot be hacked or manipulated from the outside.
In order for AI models to work, they need a lot of data. Luckily, football already has bucket loads. In modern game analysis, there are two data types. There's event data, like who passes how often, and then there's positional data. Professor Mehmet from the German Sport University Cologne explains.
Here we see positional data in both football and handball, the video and the corresponding visualized position data.
Individual players' behavior can be extrapolated from positional data. Tactical structures of the team can also be recognized, and heat maps show who was where during the game. The data is gathered by trackers in chest straps worn by the players. Receivers around the pitch ensure that the data is transmitted securely. The stats are then analysed in real time online. Another way of collecting positional data is to evaluate images using so-called computer vision. But one difficulty is that not all players are always visible in the image. AI could be the solution here too.
The
more data you have, the higher the probability that you will find patterns. Those patterns can be used to establish a correlation, which can help predict future outcomes. At the end of the day, football is complex. Many parameters play a role. But the more parameters I include in my analysis, the closer I am to reality.
desto größer, desto näher bin ich auch an der Realität.
The importance of data is increasing, as is the demand for match analysts. They're often considered just as important as traditional assistant coaches. But to be able to use the data sensibly, analysts need training.
Most match analysts don't have the programming skills needed for working with data in a targeted and quick fashion.
So far, comprehensive data collection exists mostly in top European leagues. But in the future, a team's success will depend not only on having the best players and coaches, but also the best programmers.
Now it's all about who builds the best AI, who has the best parameters, and who can use outputs from games or training. They must draw the right conclusions, communicate essentials to the players, and ultimately improve training programs.
Analyzing data as quickly as possible with AI has become crucial in professional football, and it's even able to predict the probability of injuries. England international Harry Kane has invested in an AI system which uses real-time data to maximize training programs. This can prevent injuries and optimize performance. Artificial intelligence can also detect exhaustion, which could help coaches during matches. They'd be able to take players off the field before they even have a chance of getting injured. This is just one area where coaches could make use of AI, and the tech is already helping them to find weaknesses in the opposition. Typically, match analysis takes place on screen. Like here at the German Sport University Cologne, data is collected and analysed. Such as this opponent's behaviour at corner kicks, for example. Precise, but time-consuming.
Analyzing a game with video data would take us about 8 hours, depending on how many parameters we include. If we have position data and analyze it with our software, the same task takes 8 seconds. So we can evaluate a lot more games in a shorter time.
A clear advantage for those teams already working with AI. Those who can evaluate more games will more readily recognize patterns in opponents' tactics. And based on that, training plans can be tailored for each new opponent.
Guter Laufweg! Mach ihn trotzdem!
Daniel Mehmet says the effectiveness of a new tactical approach can be tested too. He and his team have access to data from the German Bundesliga.
You can test new group tactics or new skills beforehand. We could test those things here at the Sports University and say the next day whether it made a difference or not.
Until today, such insights would become apparent only over the course of a season, or even after a few defeats. But now pre-season AI analysis allows for more targeted training. Tactics that the AI deems unsuccessful are avoided. But for Daniel Mehmet, football success can't only be planned on a computer.
Football differs from many other sports in that there is a large element of chance. We're talking 40%.
Oh, my fimbo mkucha, omora sheketu na ompango dinjido monjira. Ngashi, inota agulukira shampoka. Inohinga kohio dungo, inohinga no mataera ga papa, inohingirira. Omora shoka, inatuhara okutura onkara mwenyo e, moshiponga. Inoninga omuyarurwa, inoninga oshinene nima. Kara omorongithi onjira, omuinekewa. Ninga shoka shomonjira, eto kupita omwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Planned actions, that can be trained. And that's why the game will always remain a bit mystical. Maybe that's why it's so exciting.
Football will always have that unpredictable element, which makes it so loved by millions across the world. But algorithms could still help with many important questions, like how can players improve their game even further? Or is it worth buying a certain player? That's what German analysis platform Player is attempting to achieve with their system.
Daten machen Talente sichtbar. Und je mehr Daten man hat,
Data gives talent visibility, and the more data we have, the more visible global talent will be for us. Personally, I believe that AI will completely change football and democratize football. The more accessible data becomes, the easier it will be for smaller clubs who don't have 20, 50-head scouting teams to find players for their ranks.
The AI platform Player analyzes data to find the next generation of football stars, making recommendations to clubs on who to look out for. Player uses data from football associations, but also collects its own.
We also note whether someone scores a 1-0 or a 4-0, whether someone passes forward or backwards, whether it happens under pressure, whether it triggers something, whether it influences the rest of the game. This involves 400 data points, which we have converted into 12 mega matrices. 12 data points that are most important for a particular position.
Today, Player compiles and compares data from close to a million football games. What's more, 300,000 players are documented in their system, such as Bayern Munich's Jamal Musiala.
Ich kann mir sein Potenzial angucken und kann halt hier als Verein extrem genau planen und sehe.
I can see what his potential is, and as a club, I can plan for that. I see 2024 as his year. After that, he'll lose a little momentum, but not significantly. In 2025, 2026, he'll continue to play at the top of his game.
The makers claim the AI can calculate players' future performance with an impressive 90% accuracy. To further improve the AI, forecasts are frequently monitored and results scrutinized. Could this mean goodbye for its human counterparts?
In dieser Frage steckt immer so ein bisschen auch die Angst, dass die Maschinen irgendwann sozusagen.
The question implies a kind of fear, a fear that machines will take over football and everything else too. I don't believe that will happen. It'll never happen. With progress, it always depends on whether we can approach innovation fearlessly, bravely, and wisely to make better decisions.
Embracing tech can only be beneficial for football. Unfortunately, these systems still aren't available for everyone. Some of them, such as Player, are currently only focusing on the men's game. And it's clear that to use AI in football at the moment, you need cash. So will artificial intelligence actually make the game better, or will it just make the rich clubs stronger? Let us know what you think, and see you next time.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone, and that was a detailed explanation of how artificial intelligence has been implemented in modern football. So we're talking high level football here, of course. But like I said, the trivia question of the day, something similar is happening near our shores, and I need you guys to tell me which team is implementing artificial intelligence. The number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. And just to a bit of a recap on what we just heard, or some points that I want to emphasize on, is when they talked about how the coaching staff trusts the artificial intelligence so much to the point that they avoid the tactics that the artificial intelligence deems would be unsuccessful. And of course, it's not an absolute that, you know, if you plug in, should we play long balls or not? And the AI says no, that means you'll never play long balls. It's a bit more intricate than that, but, you know, perhaps instead of having to play, you know, friendlies to figure out if these tactics will work, instead of even having to leave the country to play friendlies, you know, like I saw some of our local football teams, for example, and I'm just using football because, you know, it's our most popular sport, and it's what we just heard about in the video. You know, some teams had to go outside to play their preseason matches. which isn't abnormal if you're in a, you know, in a fully professional setup or if you have the resources to do so. But in our setup, you know, it will be quite costly. And this particular team obviously was able to afford it, which is why they did it. But let's just say for the sake of argument that they used this preseason journey that they went on to try out new tactics, something that they could have saved cost and time on had they had an artificial intelligence system telling them that, no, maybe you should focus your energy somewhere else to a different tactic. Try a different tactic, because this one, the AI has seen various weak points and has given you reasons as to why it would not work. Just an example. Then another thing was when he talked about the prediction of Jamal Musiala. You know, this clip that I showed you is from, let me get the exact date for you. June 2024. So probably the content was filmed, you know, a few months prior to that, but let's just say 2024. And when he talked about Musiala's career, and how they're predicting his career to turn out, you know, using all the different data sets that they have at their disposal, and you know, looking at his profile, how they've profiled him, it's almost like a video game, honestly. But their predictions were almost to the T of what his career has been so far. You know, despite, you can't predict injuries, but for the freak injuries that he's had. But that artificial intelligence system predicted his career. And this is a superstar player, predicted his career almost to the T. So one can only imagine the hundreds, if not thousands of talents that have been identified and evaluated accurately using artificial intelligence. And then another point of emphasis is the data. Again, that word data. None of this can happen without data, without the human input of data. So if anything remotely close to this is to happen within our borders, the absolutely number one component is data. And then when they ended the video with saying, is this just a tool, or is this just another form of the rich getting richer, essentially, in sports? And then again, that's another hint for the question of the day, the trivia question. If you think about who we talk about when we say the rich getting richer in Southern African football, you will know the answer to the question. But that is a fair question. And it is one that I don't know if we can give a definitive answer towards, really. Because who's to say that a team or even a country, if we're doing this at country level, that, you know, is, traditionally might have less resources than the other, but still they manage to implement an idea to use artificial intelligence to their advantage. I'm of the opinion that it can eliminate that gap between the haves and the haves not in the sporting context now. You know, maybe a team that can't afford, let's take it to South Africa. Maybe a team that can't afford the players that Mamelodi Sundowns can afford, right? Because we know how much spending power they have. If a team that can't afford what they can afford manages to, you know, develop their own AI system similar to what we just heard, to identify some of the players that even Sundowns wouldn't be able to identify, and in turn turn those into star players, who's to say that that won't close the gap between the haves and the haves not? But at the same time, I also understand the argument of it would increase the gap. But moving on, we now move on to refereeing. How AI kind of touched on this a bit earlier, but we'll get into a bit more detail. How AI can be used when it comes to refereeing our sports. So there's an example I want to talk about from World Gymnastics, where they are applying AI technology to help with judging and scoring. So there's this thing called the AI assisted judging support system. This was developed by Fujitsu, a company, in collaboration with the International Gymnastics Federation. They use HD cameras to capture and analyze the movements of gymnasts in 3D. So gymnasts, you know, think of your Simone Biles, think of your Suni Lees, think of your, do I know any male gymnasts? Think of your gymnasts. You get the point. So it analyzes their movements of the gymnasts in 3D. And then this impartial system helps provide the human judges with more accurate, more precise scoring insights. This technology is able to track the gymnast's every movement during the entire performance and then compare these movements to a vast database of recognized gymnastics elements. Again, there's that word data, to a vast database. You know, none of what we spoke about today is possible without an existing database of information. As I started the show, it's about, when we're talking about machine learning, the machine has to learn from somewhere, right? And it learns from the data that you feed it, the data that you make available to the machine, right? This thing that they're talking about has to know what a good backflip looks like. If it doesn't know what a good backflip looks like, it won't be able to tell the judge that what just happened was a good backflip, right? And same thing in football. Well, same thing in any sport, not just football, any sport. So, in real time, the system automatically generates a score, just like a human judge would do, but based on the same criteria of both difficulty and execution. The introduction of AI in gymnastics judging is helping reduce human error, which is, in the gymnastic world in particular, it's supposed to be kind of a black and white thing, but because the margins are so fine in gymnastics, you know, the element of, things being subject comes into play, and, you know, it becomes very dramatic in the world of gymnastics. So that's part of the reason why they've decided to implement artificial intelligence. And just like any high level sport, the margins between winning and losing are very fine. And that's why we're seeing AI being implemented in training, being implemented in post-match, in pre-match, in during matches. We're seeing it now with referees as well. It's because everyone is trying to get that 1% difference that, you know, makes the ultimate difference between winning and losing, essentially, to put it in black and white terms. So, one more video we have regarding refereeing and artificial intelligence, and then we will wrap up with the last point that we have when it comes to artificial intelligence in sport. So we have around 15 minutes left in the program here on the Eagle Sports Zone. Don't forget, the number in the studio is 0832888401. I need someone to call in to answer the trivia question. I kind of gave it away just a few minutes ago if you were listening. And let me see what my sources are telling me about the Liverpool-Manchester City fixture. It is now the second half, and Manchester City are leading 2-0. Erling Haaland opening the scoring. He actually missed a penalty as well, but he opened the scoring in the 29th minute, and Mr. Nico Gonzalez getting the second one. So as things stand, Manchester City are second on 22 points, 4 points behind leaders Arsenal and Liverpool. The defending champions are in 18th, let alone points, with Manchester United and Aston Villa and Bournemouth. Who would have thought? But anyways, let's get to the last information I'd like you guys to hear when it comes to artificial intelligence, and this has to do more with referees. So let's take a listen to what they have to say.
The world of sports is no stranger to change, but the integration of AI could spark its most controversial evolution yet. From reviewing plays with precision to potentially replacing referees altogether, technology might forever alter how we watch, play, and judge the game. But is this the future of sports, or is it a step too far? Could this revolutionize the game, or would it take away the human touch that makes sports so thrilling? And what happens when an AI makes a call that fans disagree with? Well, join us as we uncover how AI could transform the games we love, and whether we're ready for what's coming next. But first, let's step back and picture this. Imagine you're watching a nail-biting game in a crowded stadium. The players are giving it their all, the crowd is roaring, and then, bam! The referee makes a call that sparks chaos. Half the stadium cheers, the other half boos. Controversial calls like these have always been a part of sports, but what if they didn't have to be? What if we had a way to settle these disputes with precision, leaving no room for error or debate? That's where artificial intelligence, or AI, steps into the game. AI isn't just about robots or futuristic gadgets. It's already here, quietly changing the way we experience sports. But the big question everyone's asking is this: can AI actually replace referees? To answer that, we need to dive deep into the world of AI in sports and uncover how it's slowly becoming a game changer. AI has been sneaking into sports in ways you might not even notice. It's not perfect, but it's already reduced the number of mistakes that human referees might make under pressure. But here's the thing. Is VAR just the beginning? Could AI take over completely, making decisions without human referees at all? Think about the challenges human referees face. They're only human after all. Fatigue, emotions, and even unconscious biases can affect their decisions. They have just a split second to make a call that could decide the outcome of a game. Meanwhile, AI doesn't get tired, doesn't have biases, and can process mountains of data in a flash. For example, imagine a basketball game. An AI system could analyze every frame of video footage to determine if a player committed a foul or stepped out of bounds. It wouldn't just look at what happened in the moment. It could also compare it to thousands of similar plays from past games, ensuring the decision is as fair and consistent as possible. But that raises another question. Would fans trust a machine to make these calls? Here's where it gets tricky. Sports are emotional, and part of the thrill is the human element, the drama of players, coaches, and yes, even referees. People might accept AI as a helper, but will they ever be ready to let it take full control? For instance, what happens if AI makes a controversial call? Who do we blame then? The machine? The programmers? Building trust in AI systems will take time. Fans need to see that these systems aren't just accurate, but also fair. Transparency will be key. If people understand how AI reaches its decisions, they might be more willing to accept its role in the game. But AI isn't just about officiating, it's also helping players perform better. Think about wearable devices that track an athlete's every move, from their heart rate to their running speed. These devices use AI to analyze the data and give players tips on how to improve or avoid injuries. For example, some NBA teams are already using AI to predict when a player might get injured. By analyzing patterns in their movements, AI can spot signs of overuse or fatigue before the player even feels anything. This isn't just good for the player, it's also a game changer for teams who want to keep their star athletes in top shape. But here's a thought. If AI can analyze and predict player performance, why stop there? Should it also have a say in officiating the game? Well, it's because AI isn't just revolutionizing what happens on the field. It's also changing how fans experience sports. Imagine watching a game and getting real-time stats on your phone, complete with predictions about what might happen next. Or picture yourself wearing AR glasses that show you detailed player stats as you watch the game live. That's AI at work, creating a richer, more interactive experience for fans. But here's a twist. If fans are getting this much insight during a game, would they feel more or less connected to a referee's decisions, especially if AI is involved? Of course, integrating AI fully into sports isn't as simple as flipping a switch. First, there's the cost. Setting up AI systems and training people to use them can be expensive. Smaller teams and leagues might struggle to afford this technology. Then there's the issue of accountability. If an AI system makes a wrong call, and let's face it, no system is perfect, who takes the blame? And what about the spirit of the game? Some argue that sports should remain human, with all the flaws and unpredictability that come with it. So here's the question we need to ask ourselves. Should AI complement human referees, or should it replace them entirely? Many experts believe the future lies in a hybrid model. Picture this. Human referees still make the calls, but they're backed up by AI systems that provide instant analysis and data. The AI could act as a safety net, catching mistakes and ensuring the game is as fair as possible. This approach could combine the best of both worlds, the intuition and experience of human referees with the precision and speed of AI. But it also brings up another question. Would this collaboration enhance the game or make it feel too mechanical? Well, we're already seeing glimpses of this future. In addition to VAR in football, tennis uses AI-powered systems like Hawkeye to determine whether a ball was in or out. Cricket has similar tech for tracking ball trajectories and helping umpires make decisions. And let's not forget the wearable tech and performance analytics used in basketball, football, and even esports. These examples show that AI isn't just a passing trend. It's here to stay, and its role in sports will only grow. So where does all this leave us? AI has the potential to make sports fairer, safer, and more engaging for fans. But it also challenges our ideas about what makes sports exciting in the first place. Can we enjoy a game where every call is perfect, or do we need that human element to keep it interesting? As AI continues to evolve, we'll likely see more experiments and debates about its role in sports. Whether it becomes a referee's best friend or their replacement remains to be seen. In the end, here's the big question. Are we ready to let machines take over the decisions that make or break our favorite games? Or is there something about the imperfection of human referees that makes sports, well, human? The answers aren't clear yet, but one thing's for sure. The game is changing, and AI is leading the charge. But what do you think about all of this? How would you feel about a game where every decision was made by a machine?
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. That was the last of the explanations I had in talking about how artificial intelligence, essentially, you know, there's a conversation. Can it one day replace human referees? And in short, just like the voice in the audio you just heard concluded, long story short, the answer is no, right? At least for now. Because there's no way it can be 100% accurate. It has to be a mix. Just like at the top of the show when we spoke about AI systems aren't meant to replace your traditional scouting network. They're meant to augment it, or they're meant to supplement it. So just like with this, all the various AI systems when it comes to refereeing sports shouldn't replace the humans. They should support the humans. And we see with, for example, VAR. You know, some of the technology behind VAR is artificial intelligence. But we see how many matches, especially last season, this was a big problem in the English Premier League, is we can all see with our eyes that this system is giving us, or rather, yeah, it wasn't necessarily that the system was giving us wrong answers, it was the way that it was being interpreted by the humans, the referees now, was the problem. There was no synergy. This season I think they're doing better, but that's just a small example of how you can't trust one, wholeheartedly trust one over the other. Whether it's you fully trust humans or whether you fully trust the AI, there's gonna be mistakes, right? And a good example of AI and human referees working well together is in tennis. with the umpires. Like he said, that Hawkeye system. If any of you watch tennis, you know when there's a contentious decision of whether the ball went out or not, more often than not, the umpire calls it correctly. But what they do is they bring in the Hawkeye to show the viewers at home and those in the arena and the players, most importantly the players, they show them that AI generated video of the ball going in or out, and that Hawkeye is pretty much 100% recreates what happened to the T. I actually don't think I've ever watched a tennis match where the Hawkeye decision was deemed incorrect, right? But more often than not, like I said, the referee usually says what the Hawkeye is about to show you. But other times also, the Hawkeye overrules the referee and says, no, it was actually out when you called it in, for example. So the answer is there needs to be a mix, right? And then one of the listeners texted in just now saying that, asked a question saying about, what about error from the AI due to bias in the data? Do you think there is a need for monitoring? Of course, this is now talking about AI kind of outside of sports even. Because AI, as we know, as wonderful as it is, as quick as it is, it makes a lot of mistakes. So many mistakes, right? And if you wholeheartedly trust whatever it is that the AI that you're using is giving you, you know, we're talking now about the likes of Grok, the likes of ChatGPT, you know, those kind of systems, those LLMs, right? If you don't have the wherewithal to question some of those things coming out that AI is giving you, you're going to be in trouble. And this is a global problem when it comes now to the use of AI. I don't think the question that the reader asked, I don't think necessarily applies to AI in a sporting context, because there's not really room to create biased data in that sense. Because now, if I'm thinking about, for example, that system that we heard about earlier with basically predicting players' futures, predicting, you know, is this profile of this player, what is it going to look like in 5 years? That system that we're talking about. I don't really see room for bias in that system, simply because it's going off, it's being trained off past data, right? So if we talk about the profile of Jamal Musiala, for example, in this context, it's only predicting Musiala's career based on other attributes that it has seen from other Jamal Musiala prototypes. Now, where the bias could come in, which we've seen in the past, but which is also kind of counterintuitive, I don't think it would happen in 2025 and beyond anymore, is on the racial side of things. So if the people training the data, you know, have certain racial biases or, you know, racial misconceptions or beliefs about certain races, then yes, there could be bias in the data. Now, on the other side of this, I'll elaborate on what I mean by that, and we'll round off the conversation today. We'll be right back.
Onda karahandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife ohandimo kuyadi. Nondaka ne data no shoyo outungara kavahupi. O network imwe, okufuta rumwe, okuinyenga rumwe, okujapa ndali, fio papa ndauka. Onda pumga o network oyo, hai jira jira ya fange. O mafikwa amwe, o handi streaming. O mafikwa amwe, o handi popi. O mafikwa amwe, o handi ninga ishe, poshikanto shimwe. Pamwe na parateza, o inda holora, ame haishi pangere, osho pa umwene. Dira dira oma kota fanoni data mom karo wiri mwana parika okutuma koutungaraka okustreaminga no kudenga pamwe na parates konga parates Namibia.
Always, always parates.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. Now before I close off for the evening, And before I finish up what I was saying before the commercial break, do remember that tomorrow is Monday, which means the Villager e-paper will be published. If you'd like to become a subscriber, send us a WhatsApp message at 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. A WhatsApp message, and very important that you save the number as a contact. Simply tell them that you'd like to become a subscriber. Include your email address if you'd like to receive it via email. And then you will receive the Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. It doesn't cost you anything to subscribe. So look out for tomorrow's edition of The Villager. Follow The Villager also on Facebook. That's The Villager. That's The Villager newspaper on Facebook. Follow it on X. Follow it on Instagram as well. So yes. So I just want to round off on what I was saying, because I received a very interesting question from a listener just now about bias in data. And for the most part, I'm saying there's no real room for bias in sports data in particular. One, because it just wouldn't make sense to train a sports AI system using biases, right? Because like I said, there's no real room. Either you're fast or you're not, for example, you know? Either you can kick a ball far or you can't. Either you can jump high or you can't. So all those different data points is what these systems are using. But now where the bias could come in, like I was saying before the commercial break, is when the trainers, or the developers rather, of the system include their own personal, for example, racial biases, right? You know, in certain sports, there used to be this belief that, for example, black players can't process information fast and as quickly as white players. For example, this was a belief back in the day, like 30, 40 years ago or whatever. And maybe even 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I don't know. But this was a belief, right? In various sports. So what I'm trying to say is that if the people training the AI are of this belief now, for example, yes, this is when now bias could be seen in the data. But like I said, it wouldn't make sense, especially in the year 2025 and beyond, for a developer to think like that, because you're hindering your team, and two, you're tarnishing the effectiveness and the authenticity of your system, which no developer wants to do. So that's the only scenario where I could see bias in the data affecting these systems in sport, is situations like that. So let's say, like the gentleman who predicted Musiala's career to the T as it is now at present day. Let's say his system, you know, because Musiala is a black player, his system will say, oh no, he actually won't make it to the top level because he has A, B, and C traits that they came to the conclusion of simply because of race, for example. That's the only scenario where I would see bias in the data in the sporting context. Other than that, there's just simply no room. Like I said, you either you can run fast or you can't. You can jump high or you can't. You can kick a ball far or you can't. Simple. In sports. But anyways, my time is now up. We will be back on the Eagle Sports Zone, same time, same place, next Sunday, 6 p.m., live on your number one talk radio station. I will leave you in the hands of our good uncle, Mr. Jimmy Cliff. This has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. Stay tuned for the next program. Stay tuned during the rest of the week on your number one talk radio stations for topics, for more engaging topics such as the ones we had today. And, you know, hopefully we'll continue this conversation. We'll continue this conversation for sure. We'll bring some experts in. We'll see who we can reach out to in the world. And don't forget, before I let you go, don't forget to download the Eagle FM mobile application as well. That way you can listen to us wherever you are in the world. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, whether you're in South Africa, whether you're in Russia, whether you're in Brazil, whether you're in Canada, whether you're in Sweden, whether you're in Finland, whether you're in Egypt, you know, whether you're in Uzbekistan, you can listen to the number one talk radio station on the go wherever you are. This has been the Eagle Sports Zone, and I'll see you next week, Sunday at 6 p.m. I will now let Mr. Jimmy Cliff take you into Sunday evening.